Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Hunter Kaye is Senior Vice President checking luggage over at Wolf Research. Hunter Kaye, good morning.
Morning, Tom. How are you?
What did you learn about the airline business over this long weekend?
Well, fortunately there was no bad weather events. I mean, this is an industry that unfortunately concentrates its revenue in very peakish periods. So when something goes wrong in those peakish periods, it ends up having a disproportionate negative impact. So that didn't happen. So slow and steady continues to win the race here for these guys.
When you look at the airline business as a whole, and thanks to Helene Becker for helping us out before Thanksgiving, we go into the December season. There seems to be a new urgency to book early because the planes will be full. What is your belief that the managements will be responsible and not over-add airplanes?
Yeah, I mean, so first of all, it's very hard to do that. It requires a lot of lead time. These are expensive capital assets, and you can't just get a plane and put it in a service. It takes, many, many months to negotiate these types of things, assuming they're even available at all, which they're not from the OEMs. Fortunately, one of the things we look at as a sort of disciplinarian catalyst for pricing power is volatility of oil prices, and the absolute cost of them. Or jet fuel, you said Brent's coming down a little bit, which it is, but it's still very, very high on an absolute basis. And jet fuel is still 25-30% of operating expenses for airlines. And there's not a single airline CEO out there that knows where oil prices are going to be in 6 months. So therefore, they're going to behave with a disciplined manner.
Give us an example of a carrier that's doing things right. And I don't mean Alaska Air, where, they're unique and they've got the unique Alaska airspace. I mean across America, who's got best practices?
Sure. Well, a couple come to mind. I think Delta is number one that really comes to mind in terms of being disciplined on capacity, being very prudent with capital, deploying cash back to equity holders for the first time in a long time through a dividend and a buyback, deleveraging the balance sheet with debt pay downs, and they've committed to 5-year capital discipline, giving us guidance on CapEx for 5 years. And they've given us net debt targets in a few years in the future. So we know that the cash they're going to generate from operations are going to go back to equity holders, and it's going to be repairing the balance sheet.
What about repairing the air fleet? I get on airplanes. Rich Truman, I got on an airplane the other day. I thought the Wright brothers maybe built it. I mean, come on. Some of these airlines that we're flying are old, aren't they?
See, every time someone says that to me, Tom, I always respond the same way. But you were on the plane.
Exactly.
So who cares?
Well, I mean, as a flyer, you'd like to see something relatively not worn out.
Well, you know what? This sense of entitlement in this industry is something that airlines have done a great
Hunter
job
Kaye
finally ignoring.
And
you were on the plane, and you'll get on it again if it's a cheap ticket.
But that's the point. Are these cheap tickets now?
You can still fly in San Francisco for $100 from New York. Yeah,
agreed. Cheap. Okay, you pick the one airline. But I mean, the rest of America has to fly, some challenging routes. And all of a sudden, the old $300, $400 ticket is a new $600, $700 ticket. How much of that gain goes to the airline?
Well, I mean, airline margins are still single-digit margins. I mean, if you compare air travel to the cost of shipping a box, taking a train, driving, it's still
fair.
A huge discount. It will cost you more to drive to California, and it would take you a lot longer than it would to fly there, and that's still a great deal for the consumer.
The hope and prayer of people that disagree with you, Hunter Kaye, and say that we need competition is somebody will emerge to go after the big three. I don't know what you guys are calling them, the three oligopolies, whatever they are. Is that Southwest Air or is it somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, it's the industry is a lot less fragmented than it was a number of years ago. You have top four airlines controlling 86% of domestic capacity. Top four airlines controlled 56% of domestic capacity in 2007. So, that does create a bit of a barrier to entry in terms of, new entrants coming in and being disruptive. I think there's a chance, in the future, 5, 10, 15 years from now, you're going to see more low-cost carrier startups than the likes of the Spirit Airlines, highly unbundled, high-fee business model. But in terms of new airlines starting up and attacking hubs, attacking Delta in Atlanta, for example, that's probably not going to happen for the foreseeable future. They're just too big.
Tell us about the airports. We've got airlines, but is it true there's a shortage of gates?
No, that's not true. It is true in certain airports, in DCA, for example, Washington, Reagan National, LaGuardia, Newark, the New York City airports, it is true. But outside of that, right. you can grow where you want to grow. You want to grow in O'Hare, you can grow in O'Hare.
I want to, Mike McKee, I know you want to jump in here. I want to stand corrected with Hunter K. Here's Seattle to Abilene. Good morning in Washington. Good morning in Abilene, Texas. One stop, $407.80. That's not bad, Mike McKean. Mike McKee, to get me from Seattle through Dallas to Abilene.
Indeed. Doing that trip.
No, but I'm just trying, you know, we were arguing about the price, and Hunter's right. That's a reasonable price.
You can't really argue with, demand pricing. That's what the airlines are doing. Demand much higher, so of course they raise prices. What I'm interested in is the travel experience. I was flying over the last week and had zero problems. Now, I avoided the weather. A lot of people went through it. But it's my impression, and you can tell me, that the airlines have gotten much better at managing all of this. We're not seeing the reports of people sitting on runways for 8 hours or anything like that anymore.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. Yeah, you're absolutely right. In terms of the operation, I mean, air travel has really never been more reliable. Airlines are, you know, as I talked about before, you know, generating some decent cash, even albeit at very low margins, but they are not, you know, deploying it all back to equity. They're not buying back all their stock. They're still investing a huge sum of capital back into their businesses, and they realize that, you know, preventative maintenance is always going to be the cheapest type of maintenance. So investing in the product, providing some scheduling buffer, you know, making sure there's ample number of baggage handlers and gate agents, proactively canceling flights as opposed to responding, you know, it's making a difference. It's making the travel experience more predictable, and it's saving them money in the long run, too.
Now they hire, not just for bad weather, but do they have more people per passenger now to help get the customer service experience up?
I think what they're doing is you're seeing them flex staffing levels better. So, you know, if you're going to be traveling on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, sure, you will find plenty of gates open and gate agents working and things like that. But if you're traveling, you know, on a Tuesday at noon or on a Saturday at noon, you will find the airport is a lot less staffed. And I think that's important. Airlines are managing their peaks and troughs of their businesses better than they have in the past. So it depends when you're flying.
You mentioned San Francisco earlier, Hunter K. $334 economy. Business class is $1,118. And that's even with one stop. Nobody would do that. Let me.
Does anybody buy business class anymore? I mean, or is it all just people getting bumped up?
Yeah, so it's a fair question. Well, $330, that's a complete joke. That's far too cheap. But in terms of the $1,000-plus business class ticket, well, you usually see paid load factors of about 50% premium cabin domestic flights.
Non-stop,
so only about half.
Well, but nonstop is $2,800. Very quickly here, what's going to happen here? Economy goes up or business class goes down?
No, I mean, you know, economy prices, it depends on your travel time. Again, like if you're going to see, and also it depends where you're traveling and when you're traveling. I mean, there's still going to be ample competition on the busy routes like New York, LA. But, you know, you're going to see pricing on the low end improve in markets like, you know, Los Angeles, San Antonio.
Hunter, thank you so much.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 119. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.